and a six-year-old son, also by proud citizen. Ms. Ida, bred in Kentucky by Bert Richard and Elaine Klein and trained by Steve Margolis, has won the Lacombe Memorial at the fairgrounds this year, mile and 1, 33 and 1. It happened again, bred in Kentucky by Dr. Dee Dee McGeehee, won the grade 3 Razorback at Oaklawn last year. He's earned more than $600,000. Proud citizens, also the sire of the 2012 stakes winners, Believe You Can, winner of the grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, the grade 2 Fairground Oaks, and the Silver Bullet Day stakes. Believe You Can is his second Kentucky Oaks winner. Mark Valesky, a winner of the grade 2 Peter Pan. Vamore A. Galpierre, winner of the grade 2 Santa Ana stakes, Megahertz stakes, and a grade 1 winner and champion in Chile. Tabita, a grade 2 winner in Chile, went the day well, winner of the grade 3 Vinery Spiral stakes, and Trickmeister, winner of Belmont's Van Landingham stakes, and placed in grade 2 Suburban. Ranked 9th on the 2012 sire list, and that's before last Wednesday's earnings by Mrs. Ida, and it happened again, recounted. Proud citizen stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Herschel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Herschel Ellis.
Good morning, and we are here as usual on Saturday mornings anyway. Well, I'm here usually every morning from Tuesday through Saturday, but not with the show. And we're here at the Horse Center out on the Parish Pike, Thoroughbred Center, and not a real busy day today. Track was a little off. I had some rain here last night, which we didn't get in Bourbon County. I don't know. I'm going to have to start going to church or something because it rained here for I don't know how long, at least 2 hours, and it was raining in Lexington. And closer I got to Paris, the lighter it got. By the time I got to where we live out on Clay Kaiser, it was wasn't even damp under the trees. So, the good Lord will take care of us sooner or later. What we're going to do today, I've got Dr. Ed Fallon and Ted Bates here with me today. They're here already. We're waking on Michael Bone and Dr. Byers. They're usually late because of Michael. Anyway, we might just start in without them, as far as that goes. They're supposed to be here. Well, they were supposed to be here 5 minutes ago. We're going to look at, in the second hours, if we have time, some past winners of the American Derby. And, of course, Jackie's announcements. And from the Thoroughbred Center, since the last week's show, we've had 11 winners out of here. And they were trained by, Eduardo Caramori, Jimmy Cargan, Bill Hickey, Raquel Albright. Bill Hickey had another one, Tommy Short, Tommy Mills, Donald F. Hunt. That's Dr. Hunt's horse, by the way. You know Dr. Hunt, Robert Hunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a horse out here named... What is that thing? Matcham? No, that's not it.
Matcham.
Sir Maximus Gatto. I don't know where he got that name, but I'm sure it's something he read somewhere. Maybe he got out one of those vet manuals. Is that right, Ed?
No.
All right. Well, anyway, the thing is 1-2 in a row now, so he can't complain about it. Kellen Gorder had a winner last night. So did Eduardo Caramori, and so did Tim Wilson. Tim has won two in a row or three in a row now. With two different horses, and he is affiliated with Michael Blowen's old friends out there. Does a lot of work for him out there. So anyway, that's what we're doing. And so they're not here, so we'll go without them. You guys want to get closer to those mics? And Dr. Fallon, who started out a couple of years ago at Beaumont Farm, Mr. Hal Price Healy's place. He's just talking about climbing up in tobacco barns out there, and Ted Bates, who started out at Coldstream for no pay. That was a couple of years ago. Who owned Coldstream at that time, Ted?
Dale Schaefer.
Oh, okay.
Dale Schaefer, his father, had owned it before him.
Yeah. What was the name of the old fellow that originated Coldstream there? He owned Aristides.
McGrath.
Yeah, that's right, John McGrath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pardon? Not Alcibiades, Aristides.
First winner of the Derby.
Yeah. I want to get the two names mixed up. Alcibiades was Mr. Healy's horse who won the 29 Oaks.
That was the mayor, yeah.
Yeah, that was the mayor. The stakes named that.
The name of me now.
the Dam of Menap.
The Sire of Tom Fool, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you your dad was manager out there, wasn't he?
Yeah.
At
Obama. He started to work for Mr. Healy when I think he was 15 or 16 years old. And he didn't finish high school, but he went to work for Mr. Healy, and they got along fine.
Hey. Yeah, I bet he got an education there.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So that's where you grew up, basically. Did you live on the farm?
I lived on the farm, yeah. Okay. There was a training track right across from our house, three-quarter mile track. Mr. Healy trained his horses there before Keenan was built, and even a little while afterwards. But and of course, if you recall, Mr. Healy and Major Beard got Keenan started
there. Oh yeah,
yep.
Yeah. He's of course, Alice was just a little girl out there at that time, so you kind of grew up with Alice, didn't you?
And Patricia, But Alice was more on the farm than Patricia.
Followed her daddy, man, all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I know she's extremely fond of him and was.
Worshipped
him. And proud of him and should have been. Did you remember a horse that they had out there named Whopper?
Oh, indeed.
Oh, tell me a little bit about Whopper.
In the stud paddocks there, they had me now, Fairman second, and Whopper. Mm-hmm. And they were both by Fairman second. And Whopper was a big horse, and that's why they called him that. And I can't remember too much more about Whopper, but I remember him being there. And one of those.
He was a sprinter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I asked Alice about her. I had her on the show a few, been several years. I ought to get her back. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you remember Whopper? And she said, he died with his head in my arms. I said, Alice, don't say those kind of things. You're getting me tearing up on the air. She's always coming up with things like that. Must have been a wonderful place to grow up.
Oh, my goodness. I was just telling them a while ago that Mr. Healy had 2,600 contiguous acres there. And we raised horses, cattle, and tobacco. During the war, he raised gardens for the help and, you know, killed pigs for them and took care of people.
Yeah, that, of course, that's where the old, where the Beaumont Center is out there, and that's all. Now, does the present day Mill Ridge, is that part of his land, old land too?
It was, and Alice has added some more to it, but that was one of his last acquisitions, Mill Ridge.
So you were there with kind of grew up with me now then.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And were you there when he brought Fairmont over from Europe?
I think that was probably just about the time I was born. I've forgotten just what year that was.
Yeah, I got to be careful now because you two guys, I can come up here and make mistakes about the old times and nobody knows, but you two guys would know. So I'm going to be real careful today talking to you two.
Now, come on, Ursula. We're the same age, you know.
Well, I know, but you can check up on it. You guys can.
Well, you know, the Sickle.
Yeah.
And Fairman second and Hyperion. There was one other horse out of that mare.
Out of that particular
mare. Yeah. I can't won't come to me.
The story is that
he
wanted Fairmont. Mr. Healy wanted Fairmont real bad, and he went over there and they opened the stall up, and it was dark and everything, and he said, oh, that's all right, I don't want to see him. He didn't want to let them know, you know, that he wanted to see him. So then he came back and made him a real low offer, and they took him.
Fairmont was, he was a nice horse, very kind.
Was he?
Yeah.
What size was he?
He wasn't big. There again, this is kind of childhood memory, but he was probably 15'3".
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Meenow was right along in there.
Was he?
He might have made 16. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Meenow was. Yeah. They had a peculiar kind of. It wasn't an ugly head, it was a pretty head, but they were real flat, kind of wide between the eyes. Do you remember that?
Oh, exactly, and a lovely eye.
Yeah. Well, Tom Fool got the same head.
Same head.
And I think his ears weren't quite right, were they?
A little different.
A
little floppy. I believe they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that real well.
I told you'd be on time, you jerk. This is Michael Groen.
You're late.
Well, I've got a good excuse, so be quiet.
Your life is one excuse.
You're booking my car.
Y'all sit still and we'll. Doc, sit down there. Michael?
Yes, sir.
Come over here with me, I reckon.
Oh, I get to sit next to the boss?
Well, we'll have to.
He's here.
I'm going to let him. We're going to get you on so you can. Did y'all come together?
Who?
You.
Yeah, you're, buyers and I?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. You did?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We're carpooling, so we use a carpool lane on the
Let me talk to this guy, because they're going to want to go, and I'm going to get back
you
to you all.
To the important thing was Mr. Bates and Dr. Fallon. Well, the bad news is we lost a horse this morning, and that's why we're late.
He's always got some kind of excuse.
A nice horse named Eternal Orage. He was a New England horse. He was a nice New England grass horse. Anytime the big boys didn't send somebody in, you know, Zito didn't come, or Christophe Clement didn't come, or Mott didn't send in a big turf horse, this horse would win. He won the old Ironside a couple times. He won the Sam McCracken, and that race is named after a friend of mine, so that's one of the reasons. But on a better note, my friend Tim Wilson trains a horse, and won last night at River Downs. We all went to the river. Dollar beer night, dollar hot dog night, and the horse wins the last race and pays $14.
That's a fun place to go. I got to take a break now. It's your fault you got here late. But you didn't listen.
Whatever you say.
You
Dad.
Didn't listen to the show earlier because I said Tim had won two in a row with that horse, and he's won three out of his last four starts.
Well, we can say it twice.
Okay. You do get a little redundant upon occasion. Okay. Well, do that. I got to take a break, guys.
That's REDUNDANT, redundant.
I think I pronounced it correctly.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. It's somebody from Boston, you got to excuse him. July 7, a call of the grade 2, $400,000 smile sprint handicap was won by Gantry, a 5-year-old son of Pulpit, bred by DJ Stables, and sold as a yearling for $140,000 at Keeneland. Breaking from the outside, number 10 post position, Gantry won going away by 5 lengths to post his 3rd stakes win of the year. He's won 7 of his 13 starts now for earnings over $568,000. He's won a 6 2012 stakes winners by Pulpit. All 6 have won graded stakes. That's pretty typical for Pulpit. The aside 61 stakes winners, 33 have won graded stakes, including 9 grade 1 stakes winners. And he's also a noted sire of sires. So if you want a high-class runner in your racing stable, take a close look at the Pulpit yearlings at the major sales starting at Saratoga in August. Pulpit is a grade 1 stakes winner by champion sire AP Indy. He's a Claiborne bred, standing at Claiborne Farm, along with 2 of his sons, Parading and Stroll. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claiborneFarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Valorside, 2 2-year-old stakes winners already this year in 2012. 2 2-year-old stakes winners by Broken Vow. Circle Unbroken, still undefeated, was the first. He won the Grade 3 Bashford Manor at Churchill on June 30. Then on July 7 in California, Broken Sword won the Juan Gonzalez by an eye-popping 11 lengths in the very first start of her career. Broken Sword was bred in Kentucky by SF Bloodstock, trained by Jerry Hollendorfer. She is the 9th 2012 stakes winner by Broken Vow, and that's not correct. She is the 12th stakes winner this year by Broken Vow, and 7 others have placed in stakes. That's 19 stakes horses already in 2012, including 4 graded stakes winners. That's pretty typical for a Broken Vow. In other recent stakes, Mariah Storm at Arlington Park. The Mariah Storm was won by a Lady Candidate, a 3-year-old filly from the first crop by Bob and John. Bob and John has sired 3 stakes horses, 2 stakes winners, and nearly 40 winners in his first crop. Broken Vow, Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic stand at Pin Oak Stud. For more information, contact Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens. And once again, that's 12 stakes winners this year
sired by Broken Vow. Just check with Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens and ask them if I'm right or not, because they correct me when I'm not. And check the website at finoakstud.com. Get back, Michael blowing on here.
All right, I'll get out of here so you can talk about some really interesting things. But I have to say, tomorrow we're having our special day for Rapid Redux over at the farm. It's at 2 o'clock. Cokes, beers, fun. David Wells, Rapid Redux trainer, is coming. And if those of you remember, Rapid Redux is the horse, the claiming horse that won 22 races in a row and retired to us. So he's doing great.
Well, when's Zippy Chippy coming down from New York?
Zippy's already here. He came yesterday.
So he's got the horse that holds the North American record 22 straight wins, and a horse that holds the record for consecutive losses, 100 straight losses without a win.
Yeah, Zippy's banned from every track in the United States. But he's got a great motto. He's got a great attitude, because his motto is, and it's also available in our gift shop on mugs and T-shirts, if anybody likes to stop by and get one of those. His motto is, winners don't always finish first.
Okay. I bet he's got an inferiority complex to go with it, too.
Well, for good reason. I have to say this one thing about Zippy. I saw a couple of his races at the Great Barrington Fair and the Northampton Fair up in Massachusetts, where he continued his struggle with utility. But anyway, one day he finished second as the favorite, and the stewards threw up the inquiry sign. And they thought that they were going to take down the winner and put up Zippy. And Zippy's trainer, Felix Monserati, started climbing up the ladder to the steward stand, explaining to him that he didn't want him to win this way. It's the first time in my life I ever saw a trainer beg not to have his horse put up. Yeah, Zippy's there. He's doing a great old time. And commentator's spending the summer at Saratoga.
Oh, you swapped out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a great trade, isn't it? The worst horse who ever lived for the two-time Whitney winner. This is like Babe Ruth going to the Yankees for the Red Sox.
It's the worst trade in history.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you've got a standard uphold coming from Boston.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
All right. Oh, okay, Doc, are you up over there? You got Doc's mic on. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. And come visit us tomorrow, 2 o'clock over at the farm. You can see a lot of nice horses, including Rapid Redux and David Wells. We'll have some pictures for him to sign and things. It'll be nice.
2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your own beer in a folding chair.
No, you don't have to bring your own beer.
Okay. You have to pay for it when you get there.
Just have to open the refrigerator door.
All right. Well, I'm on a diet. I can't do it anymore. So. All right. Dr. Doug Byers here. And Doug...
Yep.
You got an old friend sitting down here from you.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I just thought maybe between the three of us, we might reflect a little bit of how the things have changed.
Do it.
And, of course, when I first came here in 1983.
God, he's a baby, isn't he?
Dr. Fallon. Was one of the most gracious people. I had been coming up from Georgia, and Ed had, and I had become friends before I ever moved to Lexington. So, anyway, it was a relationship that stayed. And, a lot of good people, a lot of good memories, a lot of hard work. I think what changed was the diagnostics and the drugs. Most common, you know, things we couldn't save, we always would say they were born too soon. And there's so many things that could be saved today that wouldn't have been saved, but now we've got these modern hospitals and specialists everywhere. But that era got ushered in. off Newtown Pike. The old, what's now Brookledge.
Oh, is that where Haggard's was at that time?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's where the surgery and medicine were.
Right.
And, when Doug came, he took medicine out of the trunk of our car and did it properly. We were doing pretty well, but he made it 100% better.
Doug did that?
Yes, he did.
Well, I can always be amazed by, and Haggard's had their offices on New Circle Road, and but anyway, the numbers, of course, just the sheer ability to learn by the numbers. Yeah, you know, and that's what people come here for today.
Well, we are all so blessed to be here because right. the horses are here, and the good people to help us.
Right.
And we can practice things, and with the help of the crew at the University of Kentucky at the Gluck Center, you're pushing back the frontiers of the unknown. It's a lot of fun.
Well, we talked about you on the show before, Ed, with helping to develop the botulism vaccine through Michigan State and UK. So, you know, I say born too soon, how many botulism foals would die if there was no vaccine?
Those were the so-called shaker foals.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
they took to a cowboy interview at Haggard's. In there. What'd you think about this cowboy showing up? That's where he's from, you know, at West.
That's
where Doug's from.
Oh, yeah, he and Paul Thorpe came about the same time. And
where's Paul Ridner from?
Massachusetts.
Another one.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
First.
Yeah. Right.
He went to school in California.
Did he?
Yeah.
Davidson? Is that where you graduated from?
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, UC Davis.
UC Davis.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were in the same class, 1974. And when people say, well, which class? I say the lowest. And, Paul came here, John Hughes called you, I believe, and said, you want a fella. So he sent Paul out as a new graduate, and Paul and I were good friends in veterinary school. And I wound up doing an internship at the University of Georgia, and then I went to Florida, and then I went to Nevada, and back to the university.
So like a rolling stone to me.
Well, I always say the M and DVM is for migrant.
Is it?
So
you couldn't hold a job.
Yeah.
So anyway, Paul was instrumental in keeping me involved up, or getting me involved up here, so I would come up and visit, and then finally. Finally came to stay. So, but no, I think I always feel like Lexington is equine Wall Street.
Yeah.
And we all appreciate that. But it's also equine largest equine campus in the world, where the brightest and best come here from all over the world. Mm-hmm. And because of the horses.
Yeah. Well, you know, they all get these strange diseases everywhere else, you know, and they end up here in Kentucky, and it, that's where they get cured, isn't it? That's where they bring these things in.
There's always something new. You know, right. I remember when son Luke went to veterinary college, he said, it looks like there's nothing left to do. You know, it looks like the kind of the rest of you have kind of discovered everything. I said, oh, you wait to see.
Yeah.
And there's always something.
Yeah.
I mean, just wait till you step out of here and see what's out there.
Yeah. That's a challenge, isn't it?
Yep.
Constant challenge.
Well, otherwise it wouldn't be so much fun. Yeah.
You're the first around here to palpate, weren't you, Mash, for examining, you know, to get them ready to breed?
I had a professor at Cornell, Dr. Fincher, Myron Fincher, who was down here in the 20s. And when I left Cornell, he said the Germans were starting to look at this, palpating mares. And I think Fred Day and Crowhurst and Day in England, Fred Day was starting to fool with it. And when I got home, Bill McGee was looking at it. And we all started about the same time. And it was quite a discovery.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
Yeah.
I know there was at least one gentleman over in your firm that disagreed with it.
I know.
You were telling him at the time. We won't mention any names.
No.
But I can remember. That's what, back when you were doing my vet work, how many years ago? That you didn't last for me, though. You got too big time. You had to go somewhere.
Walter came, and he took over. He edged me out.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And Dave Parrish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gee whiz. All those, well, got to take a break and get back. I haven't talked to you yet, but I'm not going to let you go back to it. You know, I know you're over there, but you're just listening.
I'm learning.
No, never too old to learn.
No.
I guess. I think my problem is I forget it all. Okay. Well, Miz and Mass has done about all you could ask for a stud. He's sired stakes winners at Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Keenan, Arlington, Belmont and Aqueduct, Churchill Downs and Laurel, Golden Gate, the Fairgrounds, Delaware. He sired them in France, Italy, and Japan. He sired 3 grade 1 stakes winners. He's a sire 5 stakes winners this year. He sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial. He sired stakes winners at distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. So if you want a runner in your stable, buy a Mizzen Mass at the sales, a book of mare for 2013. Mizzen Mass, 1 grade 1 stakes, and he's by the top sire, Cozine. He stands at Judmont Farm, home also of the promising young First Defense, a grade 1 stakes winner by Unbridled Song, out of the grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Honest Lady is a half-sister to the grade 1 sires Empire Maker and Chester House. Great family. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fried. See the website at judmont.com. Want to talk a little bit about my good friend, Tom Biederman. I've got a vest here that I wear all the time that Tom gave to me. It says Biederman on it, real estate. And real estate agent stopped by here the other day and said, oh, you're wearing the competition, aren't you? And I said, yeah, well, Tom and our friends, he advertises with me. Thank you for the vest, Tom. I use it all the time out here. Tom, let me give you his website, BiedermanBrokerage.com, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com. And his phone number is 277-2030. He has great Central Kentucky products. I don't know if he sold this place over on Pisgah Pike yet. It's just 28 acres. Glen Lake's the name of it, but it's renovated. 1856 Antebellum residence. It's drop-dead gorgeous. They've got a 5-stall barn, plank fencing, with paddocks and everything you want right there. Boy, it's a gorgeous place. Got places out in my neck of the woods down in Bourbon County for sale. I know you just sold a couple of properties down there. And if you want to list your property with somebody who gets the job done, I would recommend Tom Biederman. Nice guy. You can trust him. He knows what he's doing. And he gets the job done selling for you. If you're looking to buy a place, well, go to his website. It's BiedermanBrokerage.com, and that phone number again is 277-2030.
Well, the list of high-class stakes winners raised over Crestwood Farm, long and impressive. They're known for raising runners out of Crestwood Farm. Remember that when you see a consignment from Pope McLean's farm, that's Crestwood Farm at the sales. That said, take a look at hip number 128 at Saratoga. It's a quote by Public Pulpit. Pulpit side, six graded stakes winners this year. He's out of a mare that's produced two graded stakes winners. And many of Crestwood's clients have been with him for years. It's a family operation, and they treat their clients just like members of the family. And they offer a wide variety of services. Boarding, breeding, sales prep, sales both public and private, representation at sales, appraisals, pedigree research, confirmation, analysis, and portfolio management. They can even take care of your insurance there. Whatever your needs, give them a call at Crestwood Farm. 252-3770. Your inquiries are welcome, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Ted, I want to talk to you a little bit now. Talking about Beaumont Farm over here. Yeah. And Meenow. I guess you remember Meenow, too.
I do remember Meenow.
Who was a stud over there at Coldstream when you went to work?
Oh, Bulldog.
Oh, my.
Bulldog was in charge.
Full brother to Sir Galahad.
Yeah.
Speed, but he was a different kind of a sire than Sir Galahad, wasn't he?
Well, he was.
Yeah.
He was more, had more speed and his cat.
Isn't that something, how full brothers like that, they're different type horses. But they were both great sires. One went to Claiborne, one went to Colston.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also, there was Rip and Reward.
Half brother to Whirlaway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Coldstream, the horse. Later came the Hyperion horse. Help me remember.
Okay.
Heliopolis.
Oh, okay. Heliopolis.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was by Hyperion, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And another top stud.
Yeah. And Nergal. But Bulldog.
Did you get Nergal? You had Nergal?
Yeah.
He was by Goya, wasn't he? Yeah, he was.
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, he was
came from France, yeah.
I thought that Henry Knight had him for a while.
I don't think he did.
Okay. Well, Henry White ended up with him.
Yeah.
After, I guess, your Dale Schaefer show sold out. Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I think that's the horse that Henry said they had to breed outside. Do you remember anything about that, Ed?
Mm-hmm. I think they're talking about Henry Knight. I think that they that barn there on the corner, you know, where the Keene Road goes across. I think they quarantined horses there at one time.
Okay,
maybe he was there briefly.
Yeah. Well, I know Goya was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goya was there, and that's probably. You know how that happens to your mind when we get older.
Uh-huh. Well, Henry Knight bought Coldstream, you know.
Pardon?
Henry Knight bought
Coldstream. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he bought Coldstream from Dale Schaefer.
Okay.
And then later, Governor Chandler bought Coldstream and gave it to the University of Grand Experiment Station.
Well, see, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Happy Chandler.
Happy Chandler.
Yeah.
And Warren Gabby was manager of Mr. Knight's farm in Jessamine County.
Okay.
And he became manager up there, and Mr. Kenny went out and formed his own farm.
Okay.
Out on the Pisgah Pike.
Okay. Charlie Kenny went to the Pisgah Pike?
Uh-huh. First farm.
I thought he moved down to on the corner. Well, you would know. But I thought he was down on the corner of Ironworks and Newtown, right across from the Presbyterian Church there, I was baptized, by the way. You see that crack down the running down the wall?
That's it. So that's, and then, of course, Melvin Cinnamon was Mr. Kenny's foreman, and really the person that made my horse career possible.
Charlie Kenny.
No, Melvin.
Melvin did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Melvin, he went to Calumet.
He was, Melvin was a horseman.
Yeah.
At Calumet, at Coldstream. Mr. Kenny managed the politics and the personalities. Mm-hmm. But Melvin was the horse.
He was the
horse.
Yeah. He had John's Joy there too, didn't he? John's Joy was there. When
John's Joy was there later, yeah.
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 And that, well, he was a bulldog.
Yes, sir.
He was about bulldog. Yeah.
Right.
Speed side. He was a real speed side.
Well, he was, yeah. He was a good mile horse himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't a great sire, but he was useful.
Well, he topped the 2-year-old sire, let's say. He sired a lot of 2-year-old winners.
Yeah. Yeah. He did.
I got to know Mr. Kenny pretty well. He was character.
Oh, he was. Yeah. Sure.
Because he ended up down at
Stoner Creek.
Stoner Creek. He had Count Fleet.
Right.
He stood down there for years and years and years. Yeah. Did you ever do any work for those, Ed?
I went to Stoner Creek when Mr. Kenny was down there, and then Walter Zent was going down there with me, and Walter just come to town, and Walter kind of took over, and it was a little bit out of the way, and I came back more to Fayette County.
That's what happened. See, that's what happened to me.
It was a lot of fun. I'll tell you. We're working with Mr. Kenny.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, and a terribly bright fellow, and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun, and his son John Shackelford Kenny was just out of vet school at Cornell, and he was here with us, and he was working down there at the farm as well. Shaq's now lives in Aiken.
Oh, does he?
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
He and Corinne, his wife.
Uh-huh.
Now, they live there now?
Yeah.
You knew him, Ted?
Oh, yeah. Remember Shaq? Charlie Bell, too.
Yeah.
Son.
That's
Charlie Bell was a dentist here in town.
I was getting ready to ask. I knew there was a dentist here in the family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a place out in Lansdowne.
I don't know where
it was. Yeah, that's where it was. He had an office out in Lansdowne at the Lansdowne Shopping Center out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Huh. If Charlie was down, I guess he was still managing Stoner Creek when they went to Trotting Horses or something, didn't he?
He went to Trotting Horses before Thoroughbreds.
Oh, it was Thoroughbreds. Yeah. Trotters when he went there.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Then they switched over to Thoroughbreds. Yeah.
Then he took the cure and he went to Thoroughbreds.
That's right.
Oh, well, that's going back quite a way. You're getting back now to Ed over to Beaumont. You're talking about me now. Didn't Duval train him for?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now he was Matili's nephew.
Nephew.
Right? Nephew.
Duval Healy's father was George, Mr. George.
Okay.
The father of Duval and George, and another one named Hal. I think there was another one. It won't come to me.
Mm-hmm.
But a bunch of nice people. Yeah.
I know Joe Palmer wrote a column about Duval. I don't know if you ever training me now. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
You probably know the story.
Yeah. For the Massachusetts Handicap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you tell it?
I think Duval knew that me now was a little lazy.
Yeah.
And he had worked in pretty fast the day before the race. It might even have been blew him out the morning before the race. But I think his uncle, Mr. Price, about had a fit because he didn't know what he was doing. He thought crazy. He knew what he was doing, and the horse won the race.
So, yeah. People wore Admiral that day.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. The story I heard that he wanted him to work fast. And Mr. Healy gone up there to watch the work. And he told the boy, he says, I'm going to wave at you to slow down, but don't you do it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's how the story was.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it better than I did.
Well, I read Joe Palmer all the time. That's what that's all about. It's, I can't tell it like he wrote it. I'll tell you that. But I got to take a break and we'll get back to you. All these breaks, but I got to pay the bills, you know.
Well, July 7th at Arlington, Austis, a filly from the first crop by Invisor, bred and owned by Shadwell, won a $40,000 maiden special by an impressive 3 1/4 lengths. She looks like a filly with a bright future. So does 14, who broke his maiden by 13 1/2 lengths at Calder, and Expression with 2 good wins at Aqueduct. There are more impressive first crop winners by Invisor. For instance, Holy Invader broke his maiden by 13 at Parks, then followed that with 2 straight allowance wins, also at Parks. Allowance winner Midnight Invader is placed in 2 stakes. 5-16 won a maiden special at Aqueduct. Gahue at Delaware, he's won 2 now. High Compression by 14 1/2 flanks at also at Delaware. Photon at Gulfstream and Aqueduct. Princess Kia at Golden Gate. And the list just keeps growing. Invisor, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, winner of the Dubai World Cup, Horse of the Year, ranked number 1 in the world. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Tack and Leather down in Paris, Kentucky. They've got a special now on Ranger belts. I saw a picture of it on his website. Good looking belt. I may need one because I'm wearing one of Ralph's belts now, Quillen belts now. But my wife has made me go on a diet. That's because I haven't seen my toes in about 3 or 4 months. And she put me on a diet, and I may need a new belt. So, Ralph, I'm coming to see you. How about a little discount? Anyway, also, those CDs of mine, he's got them on sale down there. And what, Jackie?
Ranger belts.
Yeah, Ranger belts, they call them. Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Ranger belts.
Can I tell you what they are?
Yeah, you can come over here. How come you know them all this about men's belts? That's what I want to know.
Well, Ralph Lauren used to make them, and I had 2. So what they are is a regular belt, but the buckles are sewn on to a thinner piece of leather, and they're over the top of the other belt. So it's kind of a 2-layer, fancier belt, if you don't mind. So it's called the Ranger belt. They're real cute.
Okay. Do you think I need a cute belt?
Well, it depends on how much weight you lose.
Well, I've got a way to go. I'll tell you before cute's involved, it may never arrive. Well, anyway, it's a great tack shop, and it's right there in Paris. If you're going in from coming in from the Lexington area, just go straight, go past the bypasses. Well, it's the, let's see, 1, 2, third light, and it's right there on your left, right across from Ken's New Market. Quillen Leather and Tack. Well, yearlings from the first crop by Colonel John were very well received at last Tuesday's sale out at Fazy Tipton. 4 were offered, all 4 sold. They sold for $200,000, $150,000, $125,000, $90,000. That's an average of $141,250. Colonel John's 2012 stud fee, $15,000, and you didn't have to pay it till the foal stood up and nursed. So it's obvious that the first foals by Colonel John are superior individuals, just like their sire. And horsemen know that Colonel John was a superior runner, a multiple grade 1 stakes winner of more than $1,779,000. He was a grade 1 performer every year he raced, sprinted a mile in a sensational 1:32 3, and a major stakes winner on dirt, grass, and artificial. He could do it all. Now add the fact that Colonel John is by the Big Horse sire, Hall of Famer, Tis Now, the top 10 sire again this year, and that he stands at Windstar Farm. A farm noted for making successful sires. 3 of the top 10 leading sires of 2012 stand at Windstar. For more information, get in touch with Jerry Duffy and Jenny Barnett. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty. Ted, how long did I'm talking to Ted Bates and Ed Fallon here. And how long did you stay with, where'd you go from Charlie Kennedy? I want to find out, you were working for Cinnamon. When Cinnamon went to Calumet, did you go with him? Is that it?
I did.
You?
We went to,
What year was that now?
I got out of school in 1950. It was at Coldstream.
You go to UK? Yeah. I know you were on the board of trustees out there for a long time.
Yeah, I was, but.
Did you hire Calipari?
No.
Well, I'd take credit for it. Right. How are you?
I've been off the board a good while.
Okay, go ahead.
After, while Melvin was at Calumet, was at Coldstream, Yeah. Ms. Graham bought the other half of Coldstream to call it Main Chance. And he asked me to go there with him as his assistant. So we did for 2 years.
What year was that, you said?
That was 56.
56.
And Ms. Graham had gone through several managers. I think Mr. Combs was her advisor. And he'd gotten her some managers, and she'd gone through them, kept them anywhere from 6 months to 8 months or a year. And he got Melvin to go. And I think he must have said, this is the last one I'm going to get for you. Because she never gave Melvin any trouble.
Uh-huh.
And like, because I was with Melvin, I never had any
trouble with, yeah,
time with her either. But at the end of 2 years, Mr. Evelhart, who would manage Calumet, was struck by lightning, mm-hmm, on the golf course.
Right up here at Lexington Country
Club. And when he recovered, Miss Markey took him back and gave him his job back. But he wasn't able to handle it. He wasn't able to make decisions. So she hired Melvin. And Melvin asked me to go there with him, mm-hmm, as his assistant.
And that was in 56.
That was in 58. We went there.
Well, that was Tim Tam's year.
Calumet won.
Yeah.
With Tim Tam in 58.
Yeah. Right.
But we, Melvin was there a good while. I was there with him 6 years. Yeah. And wouldn't take anything for it. My kids still think of it as a home place.
Is that right? You lived on the farm?
Yeah. They're right next to the Fulham Barn, of course.
Okay.
Inside of the stud barn.
Well, because they were Tim Tam, that was a derby, with Citation was at stud there at that time.
Yeah, he was
Sunnigan still there?
Yes. Sunnigan, it was Bo Lee.
He was still alive.
Oh, yeah, sure.
56.
Yeah, Bo Lee and Sunnigan.
But of course, Tim Tam was by Bo Lee, what? No, he was a Tom Fool.
Tim,
no,
he right? was a Tom.
Yeah.
And we had Marky Well and of course, Citation.
Mm-hmm.
But They were great years. I always relish those years at Calumet.
I know you've thought about this sometime, but how come Citation was never all that successful?
I have thought about it, but I have no.
Ed, you got a theory?
No, but you know the story as well as the rest of us. You know.
No, I want to hear it.
No, I don't know, but. a full brother that probably wasn't the best racehorse is a better sire than the full brother who was a good racehorse.
Genetics.
Genetics indeed. Yeah, we talk about the little power packs that come from the dam and the center. Well, where does the energy come from?
Mm-hmm.
And we think a good bit of the strength does indeed lie with the mares.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would think so. But you know, they had good mares, for God's sakes. Yeah. I mean, they had, of course, a lot of them were by Bo Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a problem, like breeding to
Well,
him.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
A lot of their top mares were Bo Lees, and of course, he was a Bo Lee.
And we went there right after Calumet's glory years when those mares were on the racetrack.
Yeah.
And Citation was on the racetrack. So they were mares that had been in production maybe 1 year or two, or maiden mares.
Yeah.
So, but we had it real life.
Miss Clementine?
Miss Clementine.
Twilight Tear was there?
Twilight Tear was there, but she was out of production.
Was she? She was. Yeah. Well, she wasn't that old. She was a foal of...
I think she died foal.
42, 43?
I don't remember.
She died before I went there.
Yeah.
But we had Tulee and Miss Clementine and Real Delight.
Yeah.
And
wow.
And
Bubbly.
And Blue Delight and Bubbly and
God, that's just a we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
At one time, Calumet at that time had the leading money winning gelding and armed. The leading money winning sire and Citation.
Uh-huh.
And the leading money went in Mary and Bewitched.
And Bewitched. Yeah, we didn't even mention Bewitched. No.
That
was a...
But they, were,
that was remarkable. That,
and the thing, and adding to the good memories of Calumet is the Miss Markey and the Admiral. They were out on the farm a lot and were made us feel at home and made us feel comfortable. Occasionally they'd ask for a horse show at a certain bar or two bars.
Yeah.
And we'd get the lawn chairs out and have the show. And when we were through, often she'd say, "Now, come on out here and sit down and let me hear about yourself."
Is that right?
And she was that kind. They were that kind of people.
Nice people.
Yeah.
It's, that always helps when you're working with those kind of people. Yeah.
My father died while I was there, and I got a handwritten note from Miss Markey, not from our secretary.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's great. Got to take a break, guys. Five Violins by Malibu Moon were sold at last Tuesday's Fasey Tipton sale. They brought a sales topping $375,000. The other four went for $220,000, $185,000, $185,000, and $110,000. The Malibu Moons are a success in the sales ring because, well, they're a success at the races. Just last Saturday, Perspective, a three-year-old colt by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 3 Ohio Derby, his fourth career stakes win, third graded stakes win. He's earned over $600,000. Bred for Spendthrift Farm, Perspective was a $250,000 sales yearling. And youngsters by the young Spendthrift Farm stallions Notional and Tis Wonderful also sold well. The second yearling to enter the ring was a Notional colt. He brought $140,000. And later in the sale, a Tis Wonderful went for $160,000. And Into Mischief, yet another young Spendthrift stallion, sired his first two-year-old winner on June 5, when Avalon Rose won a maiden special by 8.5 lengths in her second career start, just 3 weeks after making her debut at Churchill Downs. You'll be hearing more about First Crop Runners by Into Mischief in the near future. For more information about the Spendthrift stallions, get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Felder, and Ned Toffee. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to talk about my good friends over at Equine Savings. It's a program that's easy to use, and it saves you, well, for instance, up to 28% off commercial mowing equipment, like Toro and Exmark, industry leaders. You can't get any better than that. That's also, it'll save you on farm paint. With farm paint, just go to farmpaint.com. You'll get their location over on, Old Frankfort Pike. Yeah. And we used them at our little place out, over in Bourbon County. It does a great job. They have Arbico for organic pest control, Commonwealth technology for your copier, your fax, or your scanner needs. So let me give you the numbers where you can get in touch with, Equine Savings. The local number, it's Georgetown, if you want to call that local, 502-863-6000, our toll-free number, 877-905-0004, and if you can't remember those numbers, go to their website, which is equinesavings.com, and these savings are offered to members of all breeds and disciplines, and if you're in the horse business, they want to hear from you. It's locally owned. They give back to the industry, and you get the best value for your dollar than you'll find anywhere. They're big savings. Doesn't cost you anything to join. That's the great thing about it. Hear those numbers again. It's 502-863-6000, 877-905-0004, or go to the website equinesavings.com. A loud mouth, I don't have any problem. We might need the help over Jack's.
For all of us.
Put in a good word for all of us over here, Jack.
I would say you just project your voice well. That's all.
Is that what it is?
Well, what you? Yeah, you do well. And I would say I mumble or whisper.
Well, I don't know why that all came about. As you know, I didn't grow up with a microphone in front. I grew up with a pitchfork in my hand.
Let's talk some about your time at Dixieana.
Well,
I want to hear about that.
Ed used to do my dad's work over there. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did for many years. You took over from your uncle, Dr. Charlie.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Followed in the shoes. Yeah.
I remember Spy Song and that paddock across from the office.
Yeah, right. Spy Song was there.
Tell us about him. He lived to be 32 or 3.
He lived a long time.
Yeah.
I forget exactly how old he was. He was a balladeer horse. Now, he was a speed horse. The best thing that happened, as far as medicine is concerned, is veterinarian medicine, is the wormers, but you... The world wormers, because worming those Spy Songs was I almost said a bad word. And you remember that, don't you?
Well, I think the Matahara jumped out.
Oh, my God, yes. And you know, she wasn't mean or anything, but she hated Dr. Choppy.
I've witnessed that.
Yeah.
Tell me how you witnessed that.
I was there with him, and she wasn't particularly fond of veterinary medicine.
No. She was, Matt was, but you know, she's a very kind mare otherwise.
Yeah, what was she like as a brood mare?
Very easy to take care of. Uh-huh. I took care of her in the summers when I was a little kid.
Really?
Yeah. Of course, for people who don't know, she was intensely inbred to Hastings, you know.
Uh-huh.
She was by a horse named Peter Hastings, who was by Peter Pan out of Nettie Hastings by Hastings.
Yeah.
So, and she was out of a man of war mare who was a grandson of Hastings. And that's a double dose of trouble, you know, the Hastings.
Well, at sometimes I think when the Hastings jumped out, the Matahara was an apt name.
Oh, yeah. Well, she was out of a man of war mare named War Woman, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's that's where the Hastings came from, the dam side.
What about her produce? Did she have anything more?
She had Spy Song.
I know that.
She had a Roman Spy.
Mr. Music.
Mr. Music was unraced. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you remember, he got shipping fever and made him windy. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Different type of horse from Spy Song. Spy Song was a bay, and the other horse was bay also, but a lot darker. Well, I tell you, it was an experience. Mare's coming. Of course, Spy Song got up, you know, at that time up to $5,000, which was a lot of money. Mr. Music was $500. Different type of mare's coming to him.
And the horses, they didn't look that much alike.
Uh-huh.
There was a little difference in the body style.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Music was a little chunkier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Spy Song could get a distance of ground, but he didn't want to. He didn't want too far to go. You know, he ran second in the Derby. Of course, it was a salt year, and he got beat 7 lengths. He should have been third because the horse that ran third. What was that horse's name? Can't remember his name anyway. But the rider that stood up on the pull of pre-Shoemaker, you know.
Shoemaker.
Yeah. Pre-Shoemaker. Yeah. This preceded him. That was 1946. He stood up at the 16th pole and then went back down and went to riding. But Spy Song beat him a nose for place. But
he was a good rider, too. I can't think of his name.
The rider on that, I can't think of the horse that ran third now. Let's see. It was Assault, Spy Song, and... Oh, come on, Ursel.
Yeah, it won't come to me either. I used to know all of those. I don't remember yesterday, but I remember those.
You remember your first Derby?
The one I probably remember was the one that they ran me now in, and he didn't run. To, I think he maybe finished third. I've forgotten how he finished. But,
I think he ran fourth.
Okay, you're probably right.
Yeah. That because I remember reading about, I wouldn't bet the farm on that. Ask Alice.
There you go.
Yeah, she
that's all it is.
You remember your first Derby, Ted?
1941, Whirlaway.
Whirlaway?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember that tale. Well, we're not behind.
Yeah. Then you can tell some tales about him. Was he there? Had he gone to France when you got there?
He'd gone.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones was still there, of course.
Ben was still there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I never could call him B.A. That wasn't raised that way. He was elder then.
I never met him.
I'll tell you a story about him. I had a standard poodle dog that rode in the back of my truck. And he fell in love with him. And asked me to sell him to him, and I wouldn't do it. Offered me $100, which is a lot of money.
Then. Yeah.
I said, no, sir, he's not. So instead of, he couldn't buy him, so he would come over to my house after supper at night and sit in the front yard with my dog and me.
Yeah.
And it was great for me, you know, to be able to visit with him.
Yeah.
But he came to see the dog, not me.
I got a top of the hour here. I got to take a break, and we'll get right back to it. Well, last Saturday at Belmont, the Grade 3 $150,000 Victory Ride Stakes was won by Amazon Corps, a 3-0 filly by Congrats. Amazon Corps sprinted 6 furlongs in 108-4, one going away. She won by nearly 3 lengths. The win comes just days following the victory of Turbulent Descent in the Desert Stormer handicap at Hollywood Park. Turbulent Descent, winner of Grade 1 stakes at both 2 and 3, has earned over $900,000. She's one of 22 stakes horses, 2 Grade 1 winners from the first 2 crops by Congrats. Congrats, a graded stakes winner of nearly $1 million and a son of AP Indy, stands at Vinery, Kentucky. Your inspection is invited, and while there, ask about Vinery's state-of-the-art facilities for breaking and training. In fact, with locations also in New York and Florida, the highly qualified staff at Vinery can take care of your equine needs from foaling to the winner's circle. Just call 455-9388. Talk to John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, Francis Relaham, or Grant Williamson, and see the website at vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studio, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, Wednesday night at Indiana Downs, $125,000 Indiana Downs distaff was won by Ms. Ida, a 3-0 filly, a proud citizen, and the $100,000 Golden Bear Stakes went to It Happened Again, a 6-year-old son of proud citizen. Ms. Ida, bred in Kentucky by Bert Richard and Elaine Klein, trained by Steve Margolis, has won the Lacombe Memorial at the fairgrounds, going a mile 133-1. It Happened Again, bred in Kentucky by Dr. Dee Dee McGeehee, won the Grade 3 Razorback at Oaklawn and last year, and he's earned more than $600,000. Proud citizens, also the sire of the 2012 Stakes Winners, Believe You Can, winner of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, Grade 2 Fairground Oaks, and the Silver Bullet Day. Believe You Can is his second Kentucky Oaks winner, by the way. Mark Valesky, winner this year of the Grade 2 Peter Pan. Vamo A. Galpierre, winner of the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes and the Megahertz Stakes. Grade 1 winner down and a champion down in Chile. Tabita, a Grade 2 winner in Chile this year. Went the Day Well, winner of the Grade 3 Vinery Spiral Stakes. And Trickmeister, winner of Belmont's Van Landingham Stakes. And placed in the Grade 2 Suburban. Ranked 9th on the sire list. And that's before last Wednesday's earnings of Ms. Ida and It Happened Again were counted. Proud citizen, as if Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
All righty. Gather around those mics, boys. We're starting the second hour now of Horse Tales, and I've got Dr. Ed Fallon with me and Ted Bates, and Ted was just telling us another one of his lies. We can't check up on these guys, you know.
Tell us about the Fisher family at Dixieana.
Well, I will. But
we're going to question you.
I want to talk a little bit more about Ben Jones.
All right.
People, but I'm going to tell you about the time only time I ever met him, the gentleman. I just come back. I've been down in New Orleans with the racing stable with Dixieana. And then we came back in the spring. We had a really nice three-year-old colt named Make Ready. And he was kind of a handful, so it was my job to, I had to lead him to and from the track. I had to hand lead him, you know.
Yeah.
So I started up the path out here at Keeneland, and here came Mr. Jones down. I think he had a white pony, he was riding, with a horse that he was bringing off. And he saw us coming up the hill, and this was Make Ready, a good-looking horse. And he looked, and the closer he got, and he just kept looking and turned his head, and he looked, and he got right even with us, and he says, I don't know who he is, but I'm afraid of him. So, but hey, that's the only words I've ever had. But, yeah. And I didn't say anything, you know, I mean, but that's the only thing. Now, I did meet Jimmy.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He came out to, I had a two-year-old for sale by Great Son. Do you remember Great Son?
No.
He was a bull ruler, Ted, the farm that you had right up here on Paris Pike.
Yeah.
He was a stud there.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Remember him, and he found her.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, I do remember him.
Bad. Oh, it was painful to watch it. He didn't last but a couple of years.
He showed some promise, too.
He started out, he sired a really fast horse named Hawkins Special.
Yeah.
And another one, Switch Partners was by him.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think Jimmy was buying for the Islands at that time. He was at Monmouth Park. And he wanted to see this horse. And I had him out at Castle Long Farm, Fred Walk's place. I was leasing out at on the old Richmond Road.
Yeah.
So he came out to see him. I knew he wasn't going to like him because the horse was calf me, but I said, well, what the hell? Maybe his eyesight's bad or something, you know. But it wasn't. But I got to meet him then and talk to him, you know. And he was very pleasant, very nice. But he didn't buy the coat. I knew he wasn't going to. But I ended up selling him somewhere else. Somebody didn't have as good eyesight as Jimmy.
Jimmy was a good guy.
Did you ever meet him, Ed? Ben or Jimmy Jones?
I think, you know, I probably met them, but I've probably met them, but I was kind of in my apprenticeship, and I might have been tagging around with Dr. Art Davidson, and you know, in his shadow, and I may have encountered them.
Now, when you came here out of Cornell, it was just Uncle Charlie,
Haggard Davidson McGee,
just the three of them.
The three of them.
Were you the fourth?
George Bishop was here, and I was number five.
And you were the fifth.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's. Well, do you remember when they had the office down on Short Street?
Oh, indeed.
Right down from the jail?
Oh, indeed.
I always thought that might have been kind of appropriate for those cocktail parties they had down there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, some of the officials. Maybe coming off duty, would stop in on occasions.
Oh, yeah, like the mayor.
Then you sanction the what went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's going back away now.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. That's back when the bookie was in the Drake Hotel down there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Were you ever in there, Ted?
Yeah.
You've been in that bookie?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That was. I'll never forget that place.
That was when I was in school.
Well, I imagine.
Yeah.
I was young. I used to go in there with Dad. You know, here I was a little old snotty-nosed kid, and I'd go in there with him. That's how I knew about the place, as a matter of fact, my father, down on Short Street, where Haggard's was at that time.
At the end of Esplanade.
Well, most of the Esplanade.
Upstairs.
Well, no, it was on the ground floor, right there on...
place I was here was upstairs.
It was on Short Street right before you got... It used to be Walnut.
Yeah.
Street,
okay.
Right between Walnut and Limestone down there. Going away from Limestone, it was on the left. First, you came to there was a drugstore right on the corner. I
forget the name of it. And you go on down about two-thirds of the block down there. And
it was it Dunn's Drugstore?
I believe it was.
Golly. We're going back. They've changed everything now.
Oh, you wouldn't know Lexington.
No, then. No. All the shops were on Main Street and around the Esplanade. And,
yeah.
I remember walking down Main Street with my mother, and all the women were always dressed up, and the sure. men wore coats and ties and hats.
You couldn't go half a block without seeing five people that you knew.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was a great time, man.
It was.
Yeah, it was. So all the theaters down there, the Ben Ally and the Strand.
Yeah,
right. And, Saturday afternoon Kentucky. Football games, people went to games in jackets and ties, you know.
Yeah.
And you meet downtown at the Golden Horseshoe.
That's right.
Remember that mural they had up in the Golden Horseshoe? On the wall, the big...
Oh, yeah.
The mural of all the horsemen and everything out at Keeneland. My dad was in that.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I forgot.
I wonder what happened to it.
I don't know.
I'd like to know.
You know, when you went in the lobby of the old Drake, you know, there's a great big painting of my grandfather in there, Colonel Dick Red, on the wall.
Oh.
I don't know whatever happened to that. But that thing was... Golly, it was 6 or 7 feet tall and 3 or 4 feet wide.
Maybe people listening would help you find that.
I got no place to hang that.
We'll find a place. That's part of history. That ought to be in the history museum.
Well, I don't know. I think the Drake, upon occasion, didn't have the greatest reputation in the world.
Not the Drake, but the one hung in the Golden Horseshoe.
Oh, the one in the Golden Horseshoe. Yeah, yeah, I don't know whatever happened to that. That was right across from the old Phoenix.
Yeah.
Hotel.
Right.
You were talking about Colonel Dick Red. I remember the stories about him when they had parades.
He all used to lead the parade.
And give the rebel yell.
Oh, yeah. He was a Confederate veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you a story about the labor. I got to tell you about the Labor Day parade. My mother told me this now. She was down for the Labor Day parade, and Colonel Dick was leading the parade, you know. And he goes by, and there's two ladies standing, and says, "Look at that." There goes Colonel Dick Red leading the Labor Day parade, and he never worked a day in his life. he was the county assessor, I believe.
Well, the Red Road's name.
Yeah, family that name. Family, yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. He used to preach at the Belmont Chapel when out there on the Georgetown Pike. You know where Spur Road empties onto Georgetown? There was the old Belmont nursery instead of August Belmont.
I know what you mean.
And they had a chapel right across the road there. And he was a lay preacher. He'd go in there and preach. And that's where my dad met my mother. Because my mother, of course, was going to church there. And dad was working for August Belmont at that time.
Huh.
This is back in 1917 when Man of War was born. And he put the first halter on Man of War when he was a foal. At least he said he did. I always believed him, of course.
Well, of course.
I've got a picture of him holding him as a weanling. So,
halter's on.
And the halter's on, yes. yeah. But you did a lot of work for my dad out there, Ed. He was a character now.
And what a nice guy.
Well, I kind of liked him.
I liked him too.
Well, yeah, I don't think he had many enemies.
No.
Yeah, he was there for a long time. Went there, you asked me, went there in 1929. And was there till he died. And the Fishers were great people to work for.
I bet they were.
Yeah.
Well, they went through the saddle horse era and then the thoroughbreds.
Sold out to saddle horses in 1947. And but they were a powerhouse show stable, you know.
Yep.
Back in the 30s and 40s, and of course they had at that time they had the good racing stable too. That's when Matta Harrah was running. You know, she was a foal 31. Farstar was in there. Crop Constant Wife.
I was mentioning to Ted, you know, all the appointments in the barns, all the brass. The door latches and then the blanket racks and things were, I think, made in the Body Works in Detroit, weren't they?
I don't know, but I've shined those damn things many a time.
Well, the bars were beautiful.
We used to hate the tourists because they'd come in and grab a hold of the brass bars. You know, and have to go down and shine them, you know. Oh, gosh, it was a lot of fun growing up there. That they kept, of course, they kept that barn you know, when they sold. Yeah. In 47, they sold out to Royce G. Martin.
Hmm.
Autolite.
Across the road.
Well, they sold they changed later on. It was Domino Studs and so forth. Now it's all Dixiana getting with Mr. Shively put it back together. Except he doesn't go all the way up. He just go all the way up to the Ironworks Pike up there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a fun place to grow up.
I'll bet.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah.
You were blessed.
Yeah. I think all three of us were.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Being in this business.
You're right.
Yeah. Good old days. Growing up on Beaumont was fun.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mr. Heedley worked everybody, worked you hard.
Yeah.
But he paid them well, took care of them.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to take another break again. July 7, a call of the grade 2 $400,000 smile sprint handicap was won by Gantry, a 5-year-old son of Pulpit, bred by the DJ Stables. Sold as a yearling for $140,000 out of Keeneland. Breaking from the outside 10 post position, Gantry won going away by 5 lengths to post his third stakes win of the year. He has won 7 of his 13 starts for earnings of over $568,000. He's one of 6 2012 stakes winners by Pulpit, and all 6 have won graded stakes. That's pretty typical for Pulpit. He's sired 61 stakes winners, 33 have won graded stakes, including 9 grade 1 stakes winners, and he's also a noted sire of sires. So if you want a high-class runner in your racing stable, take a close look at the Pulpit yearlings at the major sale starting at Saratoga in August. Pulpit is a grade 1 stakes winner by champion sire AP Indy. He's a Claiborne bred, standing at Claiborne Farm, along with 2 of his sons, Parading and Stroll. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. See the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business. The Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, last Sunday at Monmouth Park, Drum Roll, a 2-year-old colt in the first crop by Majestic Warrior, won his career debut in impressive fashion, off a step slow, bumped at the start. He quickly took the lead, drew off to win by nearly 3 lengths. A $300,000 graduate of the OBS March sale, Drum Roll is owned by Mrs. John Magnier, Michael Tabor, and Derek Smith, trained by Todd Pletcher. He's a second 2-year-old winner of the year by Majestic Warrior. Weekend Warrior won a maiden special at Calder on June 24. 4 others have placed, all 4 in their first starts. Kansas at Keeneland, Season Warrior at Belmont, Sunset Warrior at Churchill, and Tualita at Woodbine. Majestic Warrior, winner of the Grade 1 Hopeful, is a 2-year-old and a son of AP Indy, is, as expected, off to a fast-started stud. In stakes last weekend, Tale of a Champion by Tale of the Cat won the Bob Umphrey Turf Sprint at Colonial Downs. Then the undefeated Fusaichi Pegasus, 2-year-old, Anytime Magic, winner of a stakes at Golden Gate in his career debut, won the Alameda County Stakes. Majestic Warrior, Tale of the Cat, Fusaichi Pegasus, and 5 of the top 25 sires on the 2012 sire list stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
Hi,
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, can do. This guy says
when I'm finished. Oh, okay.
Now, whenever.
Oh, read this. Don't ask me to pronounce these guys' names down at the bottom. Why don't you read it, Ed?
it's Dostoevsky.
Okay. Whoever.
It's from the Brothers Karamazov.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And read this. Okay. Now, this is by request of Dr. Fallon for me to read this. Hope I can read your writing. Did you write this, Ed?
Yes.
Well, you print very well. Where'd you go to grade school?
St. Catherine's Academy.
Short Street.
Third and Lime.
Yeah.
Third and Lime. It's long gone now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking of St. Catherine's, and that St. Catherine's on Short Street, just up to the
that's St. Paul's down there.
St. Paul's and St. Peter's.
St. Peter's up on Bar Street.
Yeah. Did you go, where'd you go to junior high? Of course, we went to high school together.
I went to junior high at Lafayette.
Oh, did you?
Uh-huh.
I had to go to Bryan Station because I lived on the other end of town.
Yeah.
Of course, the Bryan Station was just a junior high at that time.
And then we played football on the first team Lafayette had, you and I.
Yeah, I know. That's been a long time.
Who was coach?
Jim Ishmael.
Jim Ishmael.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't make water boy nowadays.
No, me either, that's for sure. Yeah. Wouldn't want to.
No.
Where'd you go to school, Ted?
Louisville, Mayo.
Oh, that's right. You're import.
Moved from Eminence to Louisville when I was about 10.
Uh-huh.
And I went to school the rest of my high school years.
At Mayo. And then came to UK to college.
And then I came back to Eminence. And then came to UK.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. My home was Eminence.
Okay. Oh, I'm going to read this now. And even if we are occupied with important things, even if we attain honor or fall into misfortune, still let us remember how good it was once here when we were all together, united by two good and kind feelings. That feeling? Two good and kind feelings, which made us better perhaps than we are. See, I didn't read that too well.
You did well.
I stuttered and stammered. It was very nice.
Dostoevsky.
Thank you.
That's from the epilogue from the Brothers Karamazov.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a very nice thought. Thank you.
Fancy.
That's what happens when you get old. We all get to thinking about things like this. Ted, you going to read it now? You going to read it?
No, I'm just... Just for myself.
Just for yourself?
How you all are talking.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, I was going to ask you a little bit more about KMed out there.
All right.
But that's all.
I can read that later.
You can, yeah. Then the Joneses, and you, like you said, you got to know Ben real well. Did you know Jimmy real well?
Very well, yeah. They had a cottage on the other end of the farm.
Oh, I didn't know that. They lived out there when they weren't training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they'd bring horses back to turn out.
Yeah.
They'd be there. That's where they lived.
What kind of a horse was Citation to be around? Was he
aggressive.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah.
He was aggressive on a racetrack too.
He was. Yeah. That's his personality.
Yeah.
He was okay. Life and death gave him a shot.
Was it?
Yeah, he knew what a needle was.
He wasn't related to Matt O'Hara, was he? did they ever get to worm Matt O'Hara?
I can't say. You know, in those days, they probably didn't do it with a tube, but they used the capsules, you know.
Oh, okay. And I don't think it could ever tube it.
And they may have put something on her feet and a little, but you know, the state of the vermifugers and, you know, the worm medicine in those days wasn't all that advanced.
Yeah. Well, she lived a long time in spite of it.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have the concentration of horses, so you didn't concentrate the parasites. So, And you probably had other things going on. You rotated them, and you probably had cattle that helped?
Oh, we had cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to raise Herefords.
Yeah.
At Dixiana.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was a kid. Matter of fact, I enjoyed the summers there because Dad used to make his rounds on horseback. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we would herd those cattle, and I got to play cowboy.
Yeah.
All summer long.
Yeah. Yeah.
He rode an old big bay horse, I don't know if you remember him, called Aaron Torch.
I don't remember.
They got him off the racetrack. He'd won 44 races, and he was 12 years old. And Dad made some kind of, you remember they used to have the plug horse derby out here at the trotting track?
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. He was going to put old Aaron Torch in there. Somebody found out. Of course, he looked like a thoroughbred. I don't think he could have pulled it off. But there was a lot of talk about it, you know. He was going to put him on out there. I remember seeing Doug Davis break a leg out there one day.
Yeah.
Were you there that day?
I think so. I think I remember that.
Yeah. Did you know Doug Davis, Ted?
Yeah, okay. Kind of. Not well.
Not well?
No.
Everybody knew him a little bit.
Oh, he was a character now. And, yeah, everybody knew him a little bit. A nice guy. I mean, you know, but he used to have a training center out way out to Russell Cave. I don't know if you remember. You go almost to, what's in that, Lowerdale out there.
Huh.
Almost to Lowerdale, on the right before you get to Lowerdale.
I'd forgotten about that. His wife's name was Dottie, and she was just sweet as she could be.
Yeah. He had a daughter that was a lawyer, wasn't she?
I don't recall.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I can't remember that. And then he moved out close to Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
On what's now Buck Pond.
Mm-hmm. That's where he had Pie Hope.
Do what, Jackie?
That's where he had Pie Hope, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right you are.
Well, he called the other place High Hope, too. Yeah. The original place was High Hope.
That's where they started the steeplechase.
Yeah, they started the steeplechase at High Hope.
A good horseman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You remember when he took that horse up to the Travers? Remember the pony he used to have that he would... he never put a bridle on him or anything. He was just, you know, the horse was just broke to death. And he'd just go out without a bridle and pony horses and things like that, you know. We went up, what was the name of that horse he took up to the Travers? He was a favorite. And he ended up winning it. Doggone, my memory's gone. Shot. Anyway, they weren't going to let him run because they wouldn't let the pony on the track. They weren't going to let the pony on the track, let's put it that way. And he says, well, he's not going without the pony. And he says, well, you're going to have to. And he says, no, I don't. And he says, I'll call, you know, we'll ship home. Oh, well, wait a minute now. You've got the favorite in this race. So the pony went to the post.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Halterless, bridleless.
Yeah.
You know, it's a pony he used to take out in the paddock. Years later, I don't know if it was the same pony. I guess it was. It came in early in the morning and put the kids on him and, you know, ride him on a walking ring out at night. Do you remember that?
I don't really. I'm trying to recall.
I'm trying to think of the name of that horse. I'll think of it on the way home. I'll wake you up in the middle of the night, Jackie, and say it.
There again, these are the good old days you're talking about.
Yeah.
Talking about ponies. When Mr. Jones wasn't on the farm, Tennessee was turned out in a paddock right next to my house.
That what he called the pony?
Yeah.
Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
He loved Tennessee.
Was he white?
No. Oh, he was a Chester.
Okay.
And my kids grew up climbing over and under Tennessee and riding him on the farm, you know. When that's something they look forward to.
Just bareback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I used to ride on. There's a lead pony that's in home. And it's a funny thing. One of them was named Tennessee.
Really?
Are you talking about climbing on the horse's back? Fairman Second, Saramina. One day my father came through the farm and there were two little boys, the sons of a fellow who worked on the farm, riding on Fairman bareback. Both of them on his back.
Oh, my God.
I swear. He was...
He
was that kind.
Was he that kind always?
That kind of horse, yeah.
Do you remember, you know you wouldn't because the horse was gone, but the show horse that they had, I stood out there, I think his name was Bourbon Genius, Dixiana, and he was meaner. I mean, he was mean as a snake. And they looked up one day, and this woman had climbed up on a fence. They were taking a picture, and she was sitting on the top rail of the fence out there with Bourbon Junior's with his arm laid around his neck like yeah. this. And I think Dad about had a stroke. I mean, that was something. That was something else. Well, listen, I'm going to let you guys go. I appreciate y'all coming. It's been fun talking to you.
Thanks for asking us.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's
we enjoyed being here.
Reminiscing and lying. And
that's all right.
There you go. There you go.
That's right.
You got it.
Good chance to lie.
Huh?
It's a good chance to lie.
There you go. Yeah. We've got some business we got to take care of, and we're going to let you two guys go. So that's Ed Fallon, Dr. Ed Fallon, and Dr. Ted Bates, and I'm proud that they're my friends. So, thank you. For coming back.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Goodbye, Jen.
Bye. Thank you.
All right. Well, Mizzen Mast has about done all you can ask. I will get crying there in a minute. You want to play a commercial? Well, I'll go on now. Mizzen Mast has done about all you could ask as a sire. He sired stakes winners at Hollywood Park, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Keeneland, Arlington Park, Belmont, Aqueduct, Churchill Downs, Law, Golden Gate, the Fairgrounds, Delaware, in France, Italy, and in Japan. He sired three Grade One stakes winners. He's the sire of five stakes winners this year. He sired stakes winners on dirt, grass, and artificial. And he sired stakes winners at distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. So if you want to run in your stable, buy a Mizzen Mast. At the sales, our book of mare to 2013. Mizzen Mast, one Grade One stakes, is by the top sire Cozine, stands at Judmine Farm, home also of the promising young First Defense, Grade One stakes winner by Unbridled Song. Out of the Grade One stakes, one Honest Lady by Seattle Sleuth. Honest Lady is a half sister to the Grade One sire's Empire Maker in Chester House. Great family. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, in stakes last weekend, the Grade One $500,000 Hollywood Gold Cup was won by Game On Dude, bred by Dina Springs. The Grade Two $200,000 Mammoth Cup Handicap winner, Rule, was bred by Windstar Farm. The $90,000 Voodoo Dancer Stakes at Belmont was won by La Crochet, who was bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership and raised at Darby Dan. And Roman Treasure, winner of the Chaldee Stakes at Belmont, was bred by Liberation Farm, Brandywine Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds, and raised on Brandywine Farm. Congratulations to all. Game On Dude, Rule, La Clochet, and Roman Treasure were all raised on Macaulay Brothers products, just like the winners of 110 graded stakes winners last year. 110 graded stakes, I should say. But included among those 110 graded stakes were the 25 individual Grade One stakes winners. So call Mike Warren or David Longmire at Macaulay's. The number is 873-3333. Talk to them about your feeding program. Find out about what Macaulay's can do for you. The office is at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Talk about another good friend of mine, not as quite as old as the life gentleman who were just here. That's Jim Fitzgerald over at Knott Griffin Farm. Jim came up under Michael Osmond at the Irish National Stud, John Williams, Lee Eaton, some of the great horsemen, which is why he's a great horseman now. Owns Knott Griffin Farm down in Bourbon County. He owns Harper's Island Farm, which is right close by, not 10 minutes away from the home place. And he's got a great facility there for boarding or sales prep. Public or private sales, doesn't make any difference. Trails and sales transitions, rehab, they do it all. They're not Griffin. Quality farm help, wouldn't have anything but the best with Jim. And he can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. And he's somebody you can trust. That's Jim Fitzgerald at Knott Griffin Farm. 987-8032 or Knott Griffin Farm, Knockgriffin, farm.com.
Alrighty.
Let me take care of my good friend David Schweitzer out at the KTA, and he likes us to mention every week the breeders of Kentucky horses, Kentucky foal horses. These are Kentucky breeders. They won stakes for the previous week. And let's start with the Hollywood Gold Cup, where Game On Dude was bred by Adina Springs, foal right here in Kentucky. Won the Hollywood Gold Cup, Grade One.
Of course, at Hollywood Park. $500,000 pot. That's a pretty good pot. The Smile Sprint Stakes at Grade 2 down at Caller was won by Gantry. Gantry is by Pulpit. Bred by the DJ Stables. Pulpit, of course, stands over at Claiborne Farm. He is Claiborne bred, incidentally. The Monmouth Cup Stakes, Grade 2 at Monmouth Park, was won by Ruler. It was bred by Windstar Farm. He's another Kentucky bred. Let's see what else we have. The Poker Stakes, Grade 3 of Belmont Park. Clear Attempt won that, bred by Pam and Martin Wygod. Moving right along as I turn the pages of my Blood Horse magazine here. Perspective, winner of the Grade 3 Ohio Derby, was foaled right over here at Spendthrift Farm, and he's by Malibu Moon, who's having an outstanding year. Another one. Boy, they sold good again. Well, it might be respected out at Phasic Tipton. Of course, they sell good out there. He had the sales topper, as a matter of fact. The Arlington Sprint Stakes went to St. Leon. He was bred by the Six Winters Farm. The Bob Humphrey Turf Sprint Stakes at Calder. Tale of a Champion, bred by Judy Hicks and Catherine Nickel. Tale of a Champion is by Tale of the Cat. The Sweetbriar 2 Stakes at Woodbine went to Man Stuff. Man Stuff, bred by, let me try this one now, Nagako Fujita. Obviously a gentleman from the Orient. The Boeing Handicap went to a Class Included, a four-year-old filly by Include, who stands at Airdrie Stud. He's one of my favorite horses. He's keeping that Domino Sire line alive. This one bred by Michael and Amy Fureborn. The Chaldee Stakes, Belmont. Roman Treasure won that, bred by Liberation Farm, Brandywine Farm, and Aratus Thoroughbreds. The Everett Neven Alameda Stakes was won by Anytime Magic. That's a two-year-old by Fusaichi Pegasus, bred by Steve and Brandy Nicholson. This colt is 2-for-2, incidentally. Hadn't been beat as of yet. The Firecracker Stakes, Revelstoke won that, bred by Dan Considine and my good friend Jimmy Cargan, who trains right here at the Thoroughbred Center, trains Revelstoke. He won the $75,000 stakes down at Mountaineer. The Independence Day Stakes at Mountaineer went to Strike Impact, bred by Hermitage Farm. The Juan Gonzalez Stakes, Broken Sword, won that. That's a two-year-old. It's a filly. She is by Broken Vow. This one bred by the SF Bloodstock, the La Clay Stakes. Went to Troy Oriole, bred by Keen Ridge Racing. The Long Branch Stakes, My Adonis. The K&G Stables was the breeder. The Sweet Tricky Dancer Stakes went to Frolic's Revenge, bred by Stride Right Racing Stables. The Voodoo Dancer Stakes, La Cloche won that, bred by the Phillips Racing Partnership. And I think the last one here is the Western Lawler Stakes at Belmont. Dr. Chit won that. That's a war front. And bred by the Ponsatrain Stables. Warfront stands at Belmont at the Claiborne Farm. This was, I think he got the mile. What's the time in that race? I think it was flat. No, it was 6 furlongs and 8 and 4. Yeah. Of course, that's pretty typical for the Warfronts. It gives them a lot of gas. So that takes care of my good friends over at the KTA. And Jackie, let me do some commercials and we'll get back and you can do the announcements.
Sure.
Yeah, it was fun talking to those guys. Good to see them.
That was great.
Yeah. Well, July 7 at Arlington, Austus, a filly from the first crop by Invisor, bred and owned by Shadwell. Won a $40,000 maiden special, won by 3 1/4 lengths. Looked impressive. Looks like a filly with a future. Sold as 14, who broke his maiden by 13 1/2 lengths at Calder. And Expression has 2 good wins at Aqueduct. And there are more impressive first crop winners by Invisor on the way. For instance, Holy Invader broke his maiden by 13 at Parks and followed that with 2 straight allowance wins also at Parks. Allowance winner Midnight Invader is placed in 2 stakes. 516 won a maiden special at Aqueduct. Gacu now has won twice the Delaware Park High Compression, won by 14 1/2 lengths, also at Delaware. Fulton at Gulfstream, Aqueduct, Princess Kiha, Golden Gate. List just keeps growing. Invisor, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, winner of the Dubai World Cup, Horse of the Year, ranked number one in the world, stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year, pedigrees dating back to 1950. The American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Springy at Last has already sired 3 first crop 2-year-old winners, as expected. He's off to a great start. On July 6th at Colonial Downs, A Lover's Question opened an 8-length lead, then coasted to a 5 3/4-length win in a maiden special going 5 furlongs on the grass. 2 days earlier in Canada, Just Gone won a maiden special going 5 1/2 furlongs, scored by 2 widening lengths. And on June 22, also in Canada, Shawnee Girl won first time out by nearly 6. Spring at Last has been popular with breeders since the beginning. Bred to 270 mares in its first 3 seasons at stud. A grand individual, Spring at Last is a Grade 1 stakes winner and a millionaire by the outstanding sire Silver Deputy. And he's one of 3 graded stakes winners, 2 Grade 1 winners out of Winters Gone by Dynaformer. Stands at Windstar Farm, home of 3 of the top 10 sires on the 2012 North American Sire List. Watch for yearlings by Spring at Last and the other Windstar Farm stallions at the auctions. For more information, contact Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett at 873-1717. Check the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, Jackie, where are we on the schedule?
Yeah.
It is now, according to my watch, about 18 till.
Okay, so I can do these announcements?
Please do. I need to rest.
All right, here, have a lozenger.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll drink my
green tea.
Green tea. Diet green tea.
Diet green tea, I know.
Yeah, my pants are falling off me now.
I know. Got to get a new belt.
Got to get a new belt and a quill and tack.
Either that or they'll have to make you some suspenders.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
You could have post time on one side or soul balance. Oh, in case you get lost.
Talk about the website, by
the
way.
Yes, yes, yes. Michael came in. He's gotten phone call and email.
Did he get
about, his? Yes, we gave him.
Okay.
Yeah. More copies of your reading Joe Palmer's stuff. Anyway, people complaining because there's none of the shows are up. Michigan in New England and places like that, and we've gotten phone calls too. So we have had a heck of a time with our website, so we're going to dump it. What we're going to do now is go to Ursula Ellis Horsetales.com, and that should be, I mean, it's up in the internet somewhere in the sky, as I understand it. This real
great wasteland in the sky.
This is real scientific now. Anyway, it takes a few days to hook up all that stuff to become real.
Yeah.
If it does. I don't think it's real anyway. Wednesday. UrsulEllisHorsetales.com, and all the shows that we have missed putting up should be up there.
Yeah, there'd be about a month's worth of shows.
Yes,
yeah.
I mean, it's
including
been a mess.
This one.
Yeah, this one too. I mean, it's been a joke. It's just been a mess. So yeah.
So anyway, we're taking care of
the computer, and we're taking care of the problem. We'll get those things up, and there you are.
Okay.
All right.
We'll announce that again before you go off.
I will.
I should have done it at the beginning of the show, but I forgot. I'm forgetting a whole lot of things here lately.
Well.
What's your name again?
I don't know what to say. I'm number two.
It's like going to bed with somebody, like going to bed with somebody new every night.
Every night, yeah. Okay.
Oh, Rusty about fell off his stool over there, I think. Well, wait a minute, Rusty. Maybe those days you'll get to try it.
Okie dokie. Farm Managers Club next membership meeting is this coming Wednesday, July 18th at the Red Mile, featuring guest speaker Corey Johnson. He's the president of Kentucky Downs, where they have, what do you call those things? Where they play former races that you can bet on, and they've done it, and they've done it so well that the price, their purses are out of, are just wonderful. So, registration begins 6:15 at the Red Mile. You were supposed to have purchased or made reservations by yesterday, but I think if you call, you probably be okay. This Johnson guy has also invested in thoroughbred ownership in South America. Now, that should be interesting. He's had some good stuff in Argentina, and he's got, and he and his partners have mares and stallions and foals in Uruguay and Argentina. That's very interesting stuff. So we'll be there, as they say, be there or be square. I guess they probably don't say that anymore either. Also, Farm Manager's Sporting Clays Classic is coming up August 25th. It's at Elk Creek Hunt Club. It's on 50 acres. I think it's in Owen County, if I'm not mistaken, which is right up the road. It's not hard to find. Team entry deadline is August 17th. If you're interested, you need to go to ktfmc.net. Look it up, Google it if you have to. So they're also wanting to get up a challenge. Now, I don't know what this entails, but you can call Leslie. Is it Janica or Janica?
Janica.
Okay, I want to be sure. Got it right. 277-2512. Antebellum Farms, next show will be August 19th. That's Nancy Newton's out on Yarnleton. If you want a show bill or anything like that, you can probably Google Antebellum or call Nancy, 253-1839. Coming up at the Horse Park, Champagne Run is this weekend. That's Maggie Wright, I think her name is. Gee whiz, I'm having a blank. Her place out on Old Richmond Road, they have a really nice shows. At, and, of course, it's called Champagne Run. Let's see. Next weekend, wow, it's Briarfest. Briarfest is when all the thousands of little girls from all over the United States come to the horse park and bring their model horses. It's the biggest event that they have. It attracts more people, exhibitors, whatever, than anything else they do at the horse park. That's a lot of fun. All right, cross-country schooling. July 28th, you can take your horse out and ride around on the Rolex course and just about anywhere you want on at the horse park. It's really super. You don't get to do that very often, so this is coming up. It's a good one. Let's see. Saturday, August 4th at the horse park is Hats Off Day. Salutes Kentucky's horse industry. It's a big deal. They have a Grand Prix. Rude and Riddle is kind of the Rude and Riddle Foundation puts this thing together. They have Grand Prix, and they have, oh, you can be a sponsor too. If you're interested, or you want, it would be really nice if you have hats to donate from your farm or feed store or whatever. Contact Latana Wilson. This is at Rude and Riddle, 233-0371. Oh, I wanted to make another thing. Joyce Brinsfield's fiance, Sterling, is leaving for Europe on his, he's a driver carriage guy, competes. And Macaulay's is one of his sponsors.
Oh, well, that's great.
Isn't that super? Yeah, I think that's great. Central Kentucky Riding for Hope is always looking for volunteers. Oh, speaking of Joyce Brinsfield's Valley High Show Stables, she's having an adult camp in the evenings from July 30th to August 3rd. Can I go?
I don't care.
You don't care? Woo! That's the best I've gotten so far, Joyce. Woo-hoo! Put me down. Anyway, if you're interested in attending, it's 948-2632. Get a hold of Joyce. Summerbird Dressage is at Masterson Equestrian Station every Wednesday. It's in the late afternoon. Julie Congleton does that. August 4th and 5th is Mid-South Upper Level Testing. And then August 11th through the 12th is the Summer School Mini Trial. And August 15th is the Summer Sizzle Mini Trial. A lot going on. Thank heavens for Masterson, because it gives us a place to load up and go.
All righty.
Well, to ride, that is.
Five yearlings by Malibu Moon were sold at last Tuesday's Fasig Tipton sale. They brought a sales topping $375,000, $220,000, $185,000, $185,000, and $110,000. The Malibu Moons are a success in the sales because they're a success at the races. Just last Saturday, Perspective, a 3-year-old colt by Malibu Moon, won the Grade 3 Ohio Derby, his fourth career stakes win, third graded stakes win. He's earned over $600,000. Bred by Spendthrift Farm, Perspective was a $250,000 sales yearling. And youngsters by the young Spendthrift Farm stallions Notional and Tis Wonderful also sold well. The second yearling to enter the ring was a Notional colt. He sold for $140,000. And later in the sale, a colt by Tis Wonderful won for $160,000. And in the Mischief, yet another young Spendthrift stallion sired his first 2-year-old winner on June 5th. When Avalon Rose won a maiden special by 8.5 lengths in her second career start, just 3 weeks after making her debut up at Churchill Downs. You'll be hearing more about First Crop Runners by Inner Mischief in the near future. For more information about the Spendthrift Stallions, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Phil, and Ed Toffey, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, my good friend over at Equine Savings, set Steve Anderson's wonderful outfit where they can save you a bundle of money if you just give them a call at Equine Savings. I'm going to give you those phone numbers right up front. Is the local number, it's Georgetown number, it's 502 down in Georgetown, of course, 502-863-6000. Or you can call them toll free at 877-905-0004. Or, of course, if you can visit them on equinesavings.com, and I suggest that you do so because Equine Savings has a simple pricing program with one straightforward price for everyone. No coupons, no hassles, just the best products in the world that he's selling, including industry leaders' commercial mowing equipment like Toro and Exmark. He can get up to a 28% discount on Toro and Exmark, and they are the best. And it doesn't cost you a thing to join this. And they give back to the business, give back to they donate money to the TRA. And they offer products to members of all breeds and disciplines. If you're in the horse business, they want to hear from you. And it's locally owned. And like, as I say, they give back to the industry. And you get the best value on your hard-earned dollar that there is. And they answer the phone 7 days a week. And hear the numbers one more time. 502-863-6000, 877-905-0004. Or go to equinesavings.com. All righty. I want to read something. We were talking. I was talking to Ed Fallon and Ted a little bit earlier, and we got talking about me now and Duval Healy and Mr. Hal Price Healy, and about Mr. Duval Healy, trainer for Mr. Hal Price Healy. And this was written, I'm going to read it real quick, written by Joe Palmer. So here we go. The Daily Racing Form's poll of experts, and mostly genuine experts too, picked Aunt Jenny as the best 2-year-old filly of the year. This was a satisfaction because she was bred, owned, and trained by Duval Healy, about whom, now that the years have dimmed the performance, I'm going to tell you a story. I hope it doesn't get him in trouble. Back in 1938, he was training me now for his uncle, Hal Price Healy, hereinafter known as Uncle Price. Meenow, which had won the Futurity the previous year, was at Delaware Park, getting ready for the Massachusetts Handicap. He was to have one last hard work and then ship to Boston, and Uncle Price was coming up to supervise it. As a matter of fact, we rode up on the train together, and I still remember that, though he spoke favorably of the weights on some of the horses, he never mentioned they'd had a horse in the race. Well, Duval wanted to work the horse a lot faster than his uncle would approve, so he went and caught the exercise boy and gave him orders in advance, to wit. "Now look here, boy," he said, "you get that horse off fast, and when you turn into the stretch, I'm going to be in the infield, waving you down. Don't you pay a damn bit of attention to me. You come on with that horse." Meenow broke from the gate. He was always a generous horse, and he was doing his best. When he'd gone 6 furlongs, Uncle Price looked up from his watch and said, "Isn't he going a little fast, Duval?" "My gracious, yes. This has to go through the mail," said his nephew. "What's that boy thinking about?" He plucked a handkerchief from his pocket and began waving the horse down. The boy settled down and rode like the devil without his throat latched. Meenow broke Delaware Park's track record for 1 1/8 miles. He came back and was received by the trainer in what might be called an extreme state of agitation. "Didn't you see me waving at you?" he demanded. "No, I didn't, Mr. Healy," said the boy. "I got some dirt in my eye coming off into the turn, and I couldn't see anything. I'm sorry if I worked him too fast." "Well, you did work him too fast," said the trainer. "You may have ruined this horse. Do that one more time, and you're through." Then he took Meenow to Suffolk Downs, where the management was so sure that War Admiral would gallop in that they had the winner's blanket of flowers worked out in the gold and black of Glen Riddle's stable. Meenow popped out of the gate in front, and he beat War Admiral by 10 panels of the fence. Ed, if you're listening, there's that story. That's the only reason I knew a little bit more about it than you did. I read these things all the time. I love these things.
They're wonderful.
All right, last winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Oh, since last week's show, we've had a total of 21 winners already this month. Let's see, the 2 months before, we had 59, 58 winners for the month, so they're adding up. Well, anyway, here are the trainers of this past week's winners: Eduardo Caramori, Jimmy Corrigan, Bill Hickey, Raquel Albright, Bill Hickey again, Tommy Short, Tommy Mills, Donald F. Hunt, Kellen Gorder, Eduardo Caramori, and Tim Wilson. And as Michael Blowen pointed out, Tim, who helps out a lot out at Old Friends, he's won 3 of his last 4 starts.
Great.
Out here training.
I saw him drive by before. He waved at Michael.
Tim did?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, congratulations to all these gentlemen. A lot of winners come off this track. It's absolutely a great place to train. Fun
it
out
is.
Here. It's fun out here, too.
Yeah, it is. It's a good time.
A good time. I have fun out here clocking. And,
yeah, I love it in the summer. Summer's great.
Yeah, it beats looking out the window with the furnaces on. Things like that.
True.
Not a furnace, but all we have is a couple of wall heaters. But it's just a real small area. A few people have ever seen the clocker stand. It's just one room and with a balcony out front and some steps coming up to it.
That's a porch.
Oh, by the way, Don Combs had his knee operation. He was out here today.
Oh.
Came around. He's on a walker.
I bet he's taller.
Well, he's straightened up that leg pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got another a month, and then he's going to do the other knee.
Oh, good.
So he'll go even. But, you know. Yeah. Well, anyway, once again, let's tell people about our new website.
Okay.
Jackie.
The new website is UrsoEllisHorsetails.com.
That's T-A-L-E-S, not T-A-I-L-S.
Yes. And it should be, it's up in the sky somewhere right now, but it has to shake out or something, and it'll be probably for sure by Wednesday, he said, maybe sooner.
Okay.
So Michael came in just a fussing. They've been bugging him about that because a lot of people listen because they want to hear about old friends.
I've had a couple of people contact me, and I just all I could do is apologize.
I know.
But,
so, maybe hopefully we'll avoid this situation in the future.
This should end it.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're really glad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's all I can think of. Oh, we're going to Michael's tomorrow, aren't we?
We're sure going to try.
Yeah.
What time did you say it was? Do you remember?
Did he say two?
Hell, I don't know. You don't expect me to remember something that long.
That's too quick, isn't it?
That's too quick.
It's the short-term memory that... Oh, and you can always listen to this show on WLXG.com because it is live streamed. So if you're off in China or somewhere,
there you go.
You know, those Chinese are just lining up to listen to this.
Well, they're playing the music. I guess that means it's time to bail out. I really want to thank Ted Bates and Ed Fallon for coming by. I really love talking to them. They're great guys. And we all kind of grew up together. So. Anyway, and thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville Studios.